I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Australia are away.
Sit back and enjoy the stroke play of Meg Lanning.
This is excellent batting by Ash Gardner.
Donaldson strikes again. She's on a hat-trick. She comes at Molyneux. Catch is taken by Perry.
The Australian women's cricket team win their fifth T20 World Cup title in front of a magical crowd at the MCG.
Hello and welcome to The Scoop. We are the cricket podcast dedicated to the women's game. My name is Emily Collin and we've got a bit of a South Australian flavour for today's show. So we've got Megan Shoot and Amanda Jade Wellington joining LJ and I on the show. The girls are up and about as the Aussies have gotten through the group stages at the Cobham Games here in Birmingham without dropping a game, and they're now gearing up for a big Trans-Tasman semi-final clash. Aussie fans, it's not the friendliest time slot for you back home in Australia, so it's 3 a.m. Australian Eastern Time. You can watch live on 7 Plus, or you can catch the full replay at a more civil hour once you've woken up. So thank you for tuning in, and we hope you enjoyed two fun chats with Shooter and Wello. Megan Shoot, thank you for joining us here in beautiful Birmingham, just near the freeway on a bit of a roundabout. Firstly, tell us everything. Tell us about village life, Comm Games. Are you embracing it? Are you loving it? Like, just give us the full rundown.
It's strange is the best way I'm going to describe it. Our village feels a lot like a World Cup life in terms of seeing our opposition and being in a hotel, buffet, you know, all that stuff. But then going down to the main village is what's really cool, and just the amount of countries that I've never heard of. I don't recognise that flag. And so you can actually play a lot of guessing games, which is cool. And trading pins, like a lot of stuff that's actually really cool and I'd love to see us implement in cricket in the future. But I mean, I doubt that's going to happen. But it's a cool experience. And I think, you know, seeing the crowds turning up to the cricket games, even for the neutral matches, has been really, really special. And I think, you know, we're all pretty privileged to be a part of this. And I think I said in an interview before that I keep reminding Darcy that she's the first wicket taker in female cricket in the Comm Games, which is pretty bloody cool. I will not.
And have you met any cool people up at the main village? Are you the type of person who gets starstruck at all?
I am way too shy for that, believe it or not. I'm not much of an approacher. I'll fangirl internally more so than ask for a photo. So I've seen a lot of people, mainly swimmers. I guess they're the gold stars of this show, aren't they? So. the big dogs, they definitely do know it, but for a reason. But it's really cool, like, just kind of, I don't know, you're all kind of here for the same goal, and that's what makes it special. And seeing other Australians, you know, get gold medals just thrives, you know, your own kind of want for that. So it's definitely a unique experience.
And you mentioned the pin collecting. Can see a couple there, but are you mainly leaving that to Wello?
Yeah, I actually sent her off to get me a couple badges. One of them was a Canada badge. That was a must-have. I don't know why, but I really wanted it. And then I want non-cricket playing nations, because I just think, like, when am I going to come across them again? I'm probably not making it to the next Comm game. So, yeah, I think all the ones that I have here are actually from Wello that I've got traded. But and I'd never even heard of Belize till I got this pin, so need to shake up on my geography, clearly.
Cool. And what has been different from a typical World Cup? Has there been much, or does it really just feel like a kind of a World Cup vibe?
I guess having no control in a way has made it unique, and like, we're used to kind of running the show, but there's a lot of things that are very clear that it's not cricket people who are running the venue, which is, you know, an experience in itself. Not everything is thought of from a cricket eye, and that's different. But yeah, it's a bit Yeah, there's a few things that are just very different from a World Cup, but I think, like, just the amount of athletes that are here is what's so cool. And we have, obviously, a huge contingent of athletes here in the Australian team. And so just seeing the Aussie banners absolutely everywhere, flooding the corridors and stuff, is really special.
Are you enjoying it? Like, this, it's different. Like, it feels completely different to a World Cup. But do you reckon everyone's enjoying the change?
Yeah, I think so. It's refreshing, to be honest. Like, I think, you know, I'm getting on. I'm no spring chicken and have played in a lot of tournaments now that kind of mould into one a little bit. So, yeah, something like this is honestly pretty special. And I think a few of us are staying on to play the 100, which, again, for me, I haven't played in another franchise. So, yeah, lots of new experiences for me coming up, which I kind of probably need at my age.
And the other thing we obviously want to know about is Riley. So how's she going back home? Is she missing you? Are you missing her? And we hear she's coming over to visit.
Yeah, I don't think she's missing me, to be honest. She looks at me very briefly at FaceTime and then just goes back to playing. So she's been an absolute nightmare from what I've heard from Jess.
She is
teething. She's learning to try and stand up. So she's frustrated. She's a bit sick at the moment. So Jess is really copping the brunt at the moment. I don't think sleep she's gotten the whole time I've been away. So, but very excited to see her. She's changed a lot in the month that I've been gone, and it's hard. Like, I'll be honest, it's the first, obviously, time I've spent away from Riley more than a few days, so that was a tough adjustment. I think, you know, Talia and Darce are loving it because they got me a bit more freely, but it would be very nice to see them, and as much as I'm loving my sleep right now, I'll happily give that up to see them.
Nice to know that your other children are valuing the time with you on tour.
Taking care of the other kids.
And have you been watching many other sports? Do you like, what are your favourite other things to watch that have been part of the games?
Well, now the athletics are starting, it's really cool. It's obviously a big ticket operation, but I live on whatever the BBC is showing, to be honest. I'll watch any sport. We walked down to the village in our rest day yesterday, and we actually sat and watched, artistic gymnastics an hour, maybe. We just sat in the beanbags and watched it on the big TV, and we're rating it with scores of our own, holding up on our phones. Yeah, and it was really, really cool. And it's just, I don't know, we're called athletes in a way, but I don't know, I watch them and I think they're the athletes. Like, we play cricket, they're the athletes. So it's actually a cool experience to just go around and see them do their thing, and the thing that they own the most.
Yeah. And so onto the cricket, bit of cricket chat. You guys into the semi-finals, big Trans-Tasman match to look forward to. Like, how's everyone feeling ahead of that big semi?
Yeah, good, I think. I mean, everyone smoked the ball today, so yeah. Including me.
No.
It's obviously rivals that we know a lot about. We've played a lot of cricket against them over the years, but having Benny as coach is going to be a little bit different. That'll be strange shaking hands with him rather than, you know, going to him for some bowling advice. So it'll be cool. And obviously there's a few members in their team that I absolutely love and adore. So it's kind of like bittersweet in a way, but I absolutely want to thrash them at the same time. I just hope that, you know, the people that I love do well. So everybody wins.
Very kind of you. And you guys are 3 from 3. Hasn't all been smooth sailing. What's the chat about among the bowling group been about how you've gone so far?
Yeah, we try and probably focus more so on ourselves and what we're trying to do. So obviously that first game against India was actually just a really toughly toiled match. I thought we did well to actually peg them back to keep them to 160. But yeah, the other two matches obviously a bit indifferent. There's been some positives, but there's also been a fair few things that we've spoken about post-game. And I guess for us, we try and have an overarching theme as a bowling group about what we want to stick to, which is kind of, I guess, a fallback in a way of, you know, if you forget your own individual plans, there's like a group plan in a way. So just making sure we hone in on some individual things. Obviously, my plans are a little bit different to the other girls, but yeah, I think just being critical of ourselves and making sure that we're playing the way that we want to, and still trying some new things in the meantime.
And you got another South Australian in the fold in Jude. How's she been going in the coaching setup?
South Australians taking over.
Seriously.
We definitely outnumber everyone now. It's fantastic. Yeah, it's awesome. Obviously, I work with Judy a bit back home, and having her work with the three main fast bowlers that are in the state, it's kind of feels like going through the motions in a way. Like, it feels really homely, as weird as that sounds. It's like just what we're used to, and Jude's great. Like, for me, she's an extremely tactical coach, and I'm more of a tactical than a numbers kind of person. So going through plans, she's pretty to the point, which I appreciate, and I, you know, gets the job done. So I think she's slotted in beautifully, and I think we'll obviously show another South Australian at heart.
Guys are.
I told you, we're taking over. They get along really well, and I think all of our coaching staff really just balance nicely. Everyone has their own ways to approach things, and it all just smooths out in the end.
And I know you mentioned some members of the White Ferns who you are very good mates with. What is it like taking the new bowler and bowling to Sophie and Susie?
I actually really love it. Like, it's such a challenge. It's a battle of attrition. They both know what I'm going to do. I know what they're going to do. And who's going to win, who knows. So, like, yeah. I love that challenge. Like, you never know, too, with Soph, if you're going to go for six or if you're going to bowl her. So it's kind of hard in that sense. It's a 50-50 game. But, I don't know, we try not to take ourselves too seriously while we're out there. Me and Soph will definitely have a bit of a laugh, you know, poke at each other's size of our bums and our pants and all that kind of, like, have a bit of a laugh. Like, at the end of the day, it's just cricket and we're both extremely competitive people. So in between that, you have to kind of, you know, take things pretty lightly, I guess. But, yeah, they're two people that I love to see do well, if I'm honest. And I don't want them to do too well. Yeah. But I also don't really want them to fail. So, yeah, they're the lifeblood of the Kiwi team, in my opinion, and have just been the mainstays and the core contributors. So hopefully, you know, they can go okay, but, you know, as long as we win, that's what matters.
Very friendly rivals. They're obviously staying in the same hotel as you guys. Has there been any, like, much interaction between the teams and, like, the cricket teams in the hotel?
A little bit. We're not supposed to be interacting all that much, and if we do, we have to have a mask on. So just letting you know, Pip, that we have kept the mask on. But there is a bit, and like there's no way I'm ever going to pass Susie and Soph and not say hi. So they're two people that are very dear to me, and don't get to see Soph as much anymore now that she's not in the Blues. So breaks my soul, but that's okay. But yeah, there is a bit of chat. Obviously, we see the Kiwis pretty often anyway, so that feels pretty usual to us. But I have had a couple chats with some of the Pakistan bowlers and just some ways that maybe they can improve their training sessions, because from what I've heard in their training camp, the bowlers probably bowl a bit too much, which is a very, I think, old school traditional way of thinking. So a few conversations here and there, which at the end of the day, we do want to improve, you know, the global game as a whole. So I think that's what an opportunity presents itself in a hub like this.
Yeah, very good.
And so the next day and a half, like, what does it look like for you? Like, what do you need to do to get into the perfect zone mentally and physically, I guess?
I'm pretty chill, hey. I don't know. I'll wash my hair and shave my legs tonight. That's my pre-game ritual.
Gotta
make sure.
Hairy legs.
Look good, feel good, feel good, play good. You know, so like that's a must. But other than that, I'll probably have a good feed tonight. Kill time in the morning. I'll probably do a primer. I like doing some explosive stuff before we get out there, especially when you have a whole day to kill.
Yes.
I would have loved to have been the morning match, especially for the people back home. Like, would have made sense. Feels like a bit
would've
of a personal
made
attack.
Sense.
Yeah.
But too much.
There's no such thing as common sense in cricket, though, so should have known that was going to happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, I'm pretty sure I'll just go with the flow and hopefully get a good coffee in and good feed, and I'll be right.
Will your friends and fam back home be watching? Riley, get up at that hour?
Riley generally does wake about 3 o'clock for a feed,
well
so
timed.
It could almost be a perfect... She'll probably screw it up now that, you know, she knows that she's meant to wake up at that time, so I'm sure it'll be 4 o'clock or something. But, yeah, I'm unsure. Look, I wouldn't hold them against them if they just, you know, wake up and wait for the result.
That's fair enough. Shooter, thank you as always for your time. Very generous. We love chatting to you and we wish you all the best tomorrow.
Wello. Your mate Wello.
Yes, hello.
We've been living the dream in this beautiful Com Games Village for nearly 2 weeks, and I think you, more than anyone, have been soaking it up. So tell us everything. Tell us how you've been finding it in here. I know you've been getting around and exploring and going to all different parts of Birmingham. So tell us everything.
Yeah, it's absolutely been amazing, honestly. It's probably one of the best tours that I've been on so far. It's been such an amazing experience. Like, so, for example, we're in a hotel, a hotel village. So we're only about a 10-minute walk away from the main village. So it feels like a community down there. There's this thing, you know, that a lot of athletes do. It's called pins. You know, it's like currency here. You know, this young lady got me into it, a volunteer, and then all of a sudden, a love for pin collecting happened. All of a sudden.
And so, before coming here, did you know that these pins were a thing? Like, or was it just, did you just find out once you got here that this is how they do it at the Com Games and Olympics and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I had no idea until a volunteer showed me and she asked me for pins and I was like, oh, I actually have no idea what you're talking about. Can you please show me? And then she gave me a Barbados pin. That was my first pin. It's a flying fish pin. Yeah, and then all of a sudden, the collector inside me awoke. and I'm like, I need all these pins now. And then I was like, how many pins are there? And she's like, oh, I think, you know, all of the nations, you know, 72. I was like, 72? So we get given a set of 8 at the start of the tournament. Mm. And, yeah, somehow I've ended up with, like, 52 at the moment. So I need, I think, 20 more to go. But, yeah, I've absolutely fallen in love with these pins.
Yes, I can tell. Your collection is looking very strong. So how many are we up to? And, like, what's the process? Like, how have you acquired so many pins?
Yeah, look, I think I'm up to 52 at the moment. So basically, I've been a stinge around the Australian group. I've asked all the teammates and all the staff members if they have their pins and if they're going to use them. Can you give them to me?
Have they all given them to you?
Not all of them, but, you know, I've gone there. I've done well so far. So you basically, if you see a nation you want to swap, you know, pins with, so like say if I see someone from Kenya,
mm-hmm.
I'll go up to them, have my Australian pin on me, I'll be like, hey, do you guys have any pins? Would you like to swap? If not, I've got, you know, I've got some extras so I can bargain with. So I'm like, do you need this one or do you want this one? Can I please have your country pin? And they're like, yeah. And it's like, it's awesome. Like, I didn't know it was a thing, and I've, as you can see in front of us, my pin collection at the moment, I've fully gotten on board with it.
Definitely. And so you've still got how many to go?
I think 20.
20. And believe you've got an Australian sporting legend on the hook for you to try and get a few of those last ones.
Yeah, look, I had dinner last night with Anna Mears.
As you do.
We had burgers. It was great. And, you know, I was just telling her about pins, how I've enjoyed the whole experience. Mm. And I was saying to her that, you know, I've got somewhere between 40 to 50 pins, and she's like, what? And I was like, yeah, I'm trying to get the whole lot. Like, I want the collector inside me.
Yes.
You know, it's slowly chipping away at it. And she's like, oh, like, I can help you. Like, I'm at the main village. Like, I'm more than happy to, you know, it'll keep me busy. I'm more than happy to get pins. And, you know, she's on board with it. And soon enough, this morning, I got a text from Anna saying, I've got this pin. You can tick it off your list, which
so
is awesome.
Good.
I got a text before from her, just before, and she's like, oh, I got a jersey one. You can tick that
off. Oh, my God.
So I can't believe she's doing this for me, but it's incredible.
Yeah, unreal. And so we know about your Pokemon collection at home.
Yeah.
Are you just... like, has this always been your thing, like collecting, trading and acquiring all these sorts of things from around the place?
Yeah, I think it just runs in the family. Like, my nan used to collect spoons. She gave me her spoon collection.
Nice. That's
Mum
cute.
Collects genie bottles.
Genie bottles?
Yeah, genie bottles. Yeah,
okay.
I know. It's
that's
like,
so funny.
Yeah, I know, it's so weird.
So it is in the family.
It is in the family. Like, even Dad collects sports cards, and he's got every sport card he used to have. So
oh,
I
that's
think,
so good.
Yeah, it's the collector inside me, but also I'm a hoarder. I know I'm a hoarder, but I know this is a good hoarding.
This
is very special.
You'll never forget this. You'll keep this forever, and these memories will live on forever.
Oh, 100%. I'm planning to make something like custom made, like in a frame if I actually get all of them. So fingers crossed I can do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it would be a one of a kind display.
Totally, it will be. I'm really hoping you get there because that'll be pretty special. And I guess even like aside from the pins themselves, like it sounds like you've had some incredible like conversations, interactions, and you've been able to meet some pretty like incredible people and athletes that maybe you would never have been able to chat to if you weren't sort of getting amongst it like you have been.
Yeah, 100%. I, you know, to be honest, I probably wouldn't have seen myself to be on this tour in the first place, and to be here is pretty incredible, and I feel like I've sort of gone out of my way to experience this, because it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I feel like I won't be a part of another team because, you know, I'm so lucky to be here, but you know, I've made myself to go out my way and make myself to go to the village.
Yep.
You know, I've met Peter Bowl, Cody Simpson, Emma McEwen, so many people. Like, it's unbelievable. And yeah, just even on the days off that we have, you know, we've had 2 so far, and I've gone over to the main village, just sat at the athletics court, track, whatever you call it, and just watch people train, and it's unbelievable how people go about their training, and it's so different to cricket, and they're so precise in what they do, and it's just so fascinating to watch, and, you know, I feel like I've done really well so far in that terms of off-field stuff, and I'm hoping I can do a bit more.
Absolutely, like, you've nailed it. Like, it's so cool to see, like, how much you're loving it. And do you think, like, as an athlete yourself, like sort of getting to chat with other athletes and sort of pick up different things about the way they go about it and how they approach their sports and even like train, like how it differs to cricket and all that sort of stuff, like how beneficial do you think that is?
Yeah, it's been incredible. Like, for example, I spoke to someone from Lesotho. He was explaining how he's a 100-metre sprinter and he would have to go into South Africa to actually compete or to train because the people back at home weren't really as good enough as for him to improve as a person, as an athlete. And, you know, to make that trip every now and then is ridiculous just to go for training. And, you know, the amount of people that I've met and had conversations with and the amount of people that have taken photos on my leg as well, it's a very good conversation.
New tattoos for the listeners?
Yeah, new tattoos, got my leg sleeve
on. Looking sick.
But yeah, a lot of people have, you know, stopped and had conversations, and the amount of people that I've just met, it's pretty incredible. Like, the amount of countries that are here, it's awesome.
Totally. Do you think it's, like, do you think you're sort of going to leave with, like, a new perspective on, like, sport and athletes and the way people, like, the way, like, the impact these kind of global events can have on people?
Yeah, definitely. I think coming into this tournament and Commonwealth Games, like, I didn't really know too much about it, and it's completely blown my mind. And to see the way that, you know, even single athletes go out there and train, you know, they hardly have anyone to train with, and then all of a sudden you see an Australian training with a Scottish person or someone from Kenya. It's incredible how they have to go out and actually train against their opposition to make them improve, and then all of a sudden they have to play against them, compete against them, and it's pretty incredible.
Nice. How was Peter Bowl? Good man?
Good man. You should see the photo. It's a photo. It is massive. But it is, it was incredible. Like, we were all fangirling about it. You were there. And we all
absolute fangirls.
I think your hand was shaking while I was taking photos.
Definitely.
But no, we all look like little kids in that photo. And, you know, those moments are the ones you're going to remember, and I'm sure you will as well.
No doubt, Willow. And I guess, like, Anna Mears as well, I know you had dinner with her. She took you and Grace, I think, for a tour around the village. Like, how special is that for, like, an Australian sporting legend to just, like, take you guys under her wing and just show you the ropes?
Yeah, it was pretty special. Like, me and Grace, we went over there to have a look around and for us to just wander around, and all of a sudden Anna was there, and she offered to give us a tour. And, you know, as a young athlete, that's pretty awesome to see someone who, the likes of Anna, with what she's done for her country and her state and everything like that, and for her to, you know, put everything aside that day for us was pretty cool. It was pretty special. You don't get that every now and then, so just soaking it all up, because it's not going to happen again, pretty much.
Pretty much. I mean, well, you never know.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Victoria 2024. I mean, and I guess, like, even because, you know, I haven't been in the playing 11 so far, but I, like, get the sense that you're going to go away from this tournament with so many good memories. Like, do you sort of, like, do you feel proud of the way that you've been able to handle it? Because I think, like, honestly, it's been awesome to watch, like, someone embrace it to the absolute most.
Yeah, it's been tough, like, obviously not playing in the 11, but, you know, I think I've made the most of it off field. And, you know, I always have the saying, if I play, I play, if I don't, I don't. I'm always gonna make memories otherwise. I've got that much stuff that I can keep my mind busy off field. I've done what I can, and I'm adapting to the situation, but I think I've done pretty well. And, you know, this is pretty nice. Yeah, this is up there.
Top club. Do you think that's sort of a sign of, like, your maturity and the way, like, you, like, being at peace with yourself, and that's, like, this is such a good way of, like, handling it, and you've just kind of taken everything in your stride with, like, absolute maturity?
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, a few years ago, if this was me, I'd probably throw my toys into the cot, and I would probably be like, why am I not playing? Like, I'd probably have a sook to my mum or my partner or something like that. I'll be like, I'm not playing, what is this? But now I think it's just like, it's a game of cricket, you know, like, I know it's what they're doing best for the team, and you know, the girls are absolutely smashing it at the moment, and it's so awesome to see, especially someone like Kingy coming into the group and performing so well. You know, I couldn't be more than happy for her, and, you know, just being in this environment once again is, you know, all that's making me happy. So, you know, training, if I play, I play. I don't. So just being around this group has been incredible.
No, that's so good, Willow. Such a good attitude. And then, so there's no rest for the wicket. Like, you're heading straight over to the 100, back to the Southern Brave. Keen to rejoin those girls again?
Yeah, can't wait to join up with the Brave Babes.
Brave Babes, is that what they call them?
Yeah, Tyler McGrath is a Brave Babe now.
Wow.
So she's joined the 100. She's joining the squad.
Yeah.
But I can't wait. Like, I know last year that I had such a great year with the 100, but like just the environment is incredible. Some of the girls, you know, I can't wait to play with Danny Wyatt, and Smitty Mandana.
Geez, strong team.
Sophia Dunkley, Maya Bouchier, Talia McGrath, Lauren Bell, Anya Shrubsall. There's just so much talent in that team, and I just can't wait. And obviously, we got Charlotte Edwards as coach, and then Luke Williams has come over from SA to join.
Real
as well.
SA flavour.
So SA is taking over.
I know,
that's
so we've heard. We've heard from Megan Shute this morning. Mm. Take over.
SA take over. Even with the Aussie squad, you know, we've got Lucy Williams here. Here we got Millsy here. We've got so many SA
Jude.
People. Judy.
Everyone.
She's an SA person now, so.
And so, I guess, like, with, like, this Comm Games, the 100, it's kind of feeling like you guys, like, the women's game, it's just on the cusp of getting really, like, really big. Like, there's been some really big crowds at this event, the Comm Games. We know the 100 saw some great crowds, and I'm sure they'll be packed stadiums again. It kind of feels like we're on the precipice of something, like, really special, and everything's just about to explode.
Yeah, it's been awesome to see, I think. The crowds for the England games especially has been amazing. Obviously the home team, I think they've been averaging 10 to 12,000 each game. It's been ridiculous. Even our game against India, like, the crowd was unbelievable. Even, you know, Pakistan versus India was incredible. And then obviously we had the Lionesses play, and that was a full out Wembley stadium. That's unbelievable, unheard of. But it's, yeah, women's game these days have taken, you know, levels to new heights. It's ridiculous. The way that people are getting around women's sport, it's awesome to see.
I know, it's crazy. Like, did you ever, like, if you think back to, like, sort of, like, when you were first playing, like, domestic cricket, even, like, first coming into the Aussie squad when you were a bit younger, like, did you ever sort of think you'd be playing in front of crowds like this and in these sort of, like, they're pretty, like, crazy environments to be a part of? Like, it's full on.
Yeah, it's, like, I would never have thought I would be in such an environment where, you know, we're selling out crowds to play a game of cricket. That's bizarre. Like, even thinking about it, you know, you've got so many people coming to watch you perform and then, yeah, the pressure on you to do it as well. But, like, the vibes around the ground and the electricity is just awesome to see. And with the 100, you know, so much colour everywhere, and awesome to see families come out to watch a day of cricket. It's just unbelievable what they're doing, and the amount of support that they're giving, you know, women's sport these days is it's more than I would ever dreamed of.
Yeah, it's pretty special. Pretty special to watch and special to be a part of. Wello, a good mate Wello, always a pleasure to chat. Thanks for joining us on The Scoop in this little random room in our hotel.
Yeah.
Cannot wait to see you tick off these next couple of pins. I have no doubt that you'll get there.
Oh, so do I.
Thanks for chatting, Wello.
See
you bloody
dinner.
Legend.
See you at dinner.
See you at dinner. Thanks, Wello.
Sit back and enjoy the stroke play of Meg Lanning.
This is excellent batting by Ash Gardner.
Donison strikes again. She's on a hat-trick. She comes at Molyneux. Catches taken.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.